Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold on. Wait, before you listen to this, you may not know, we have a video version of the Leicester Square Theatre podcast now of Rahalastapa, which you can download from www.gofasterstripe.com/podcasts. It costs a little bit of money, but this is still free. The audio is still free. Don't worry. But if you enjoy these podcasts and want to keep them going, it'd be fantastic if you want to contribute a little bit. Maybe just download one of the videos, which is £3.50. If you download all the series, which could be up to 7 podcasts, it's certainly 6 podcasts, then that's only £15, and you get the bonus of video of Pappy's at Macanthleth thrown in. So enjoy the audio, but if you want to see what's going on, and there's going to be loads of visual jokes this week, then head to www.gofasterstripe.com/podcast. Hope you enjoy the show. Great to be back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome my man who is only prepared to stay up until 1 a.m. to get lucky. It's Richard Herring. Thank you very much. Thank you. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rahalastapa. Now with added vision for hello everyone at home, hello. Yes, if you have paid to download this from www.gofasterstripe.com/podcast, you can see what's going on as well as hear it, which is, look at the, it's exciting, isn't it? Look at my colourful shirt. The people on the audio, the cheapskates on the audio, can't see that. They're missing that. All sorts of things are going to miss. And of course, this podcast is a double award winner. It's won the Chortle Internet Award and the Sony Best Comedy Bronze Award. The best comedy. Bronze. Bronze is best, right? Bronze comes in, it's because that's the 3. So that's, it means it's 3 times as good as gold, right? So that's very exciting. Out of all the comedy going out in audio format, we've been declared the 3rd best one. And so we're going to put those there If you had the video, you could see the actual trophies. It's just when it's going badly, I can just point at those and go, well, it can't be bad, because look, Ian Sony has declared it the best thing. I'm going to do some visual stuff to annoy the people on the audio. Don't tell them what I'm doing.
I'm very impressed with this. Watch this.
Whoa. I did that on purpose. How do you like them sky potatoes? There you go, Connor. If you come to, you can have one bottle of that. Got two butlers in the front row. And because you've come so many, you can have the biggest one of whatever these things are. It's a big secret. Very exciting. I would pay £3.50 to see whatever that was. Or £15 for a series pass. I am only prepared to stay up till 1 a.m. to get lucky. I'm not going to stay up all night to get lucky. That is a lot of commitment. I get tired by 1 a.m. Also, by 1 o'clock, surely all the attractive people have been taken already, haven't they? If you're staying up all night, you're going to, what, 7 o'clock, the sun's up. You're going to get the very, very drunk people that no one else wants to get off with. So people don't really know what they're doing, quite vulnerable. What I'm basically saying is that Daft Punk are date rapists. That's why they wear those helmets. No one knows who they are. Operation U-Tree can't track them down. They're getting off with women at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's disgusting, isn't it? Have you ever stayed up all night, Connor? Yeah? What's the latest you've been to bed? I once went to bed at 3 o'clock. What's the latest you've ever been to bed? 10 o'clock 3 days later. What drugs were you on, Connor? Connor's 15. I never took drugs. I think that's the reason I really genuinely, by 1 o'clock, I'm going, hey, you know, you can't get the bus home, can you, if you stay up that late? If you stay up really late, you can get the tube in the morning. I guess that's what they're thinking about. I don't know. And, the curse of Dad's Army has struck again, which is another one's gone. It's only Ian Lavender left. I don't count the vicar or Mrs. Fox. They're not proper characters. Only Ian Lavender. God has been waiting. He's trying to pluck all the stars to make his own Dad's Army in heaven. But Ian Lavender is managing to escape God's intervention. And I've been on tour with Talking Cock. There's two more shows left, Derby and Leicester, if you're watching this or listening to this in late May. But it's nearly over, thank God. I've had kind of a few odd experiences. I had quite an odd experience in Bristol a couple of weeks ago. You sometimes get like people being a bit saucy because the show's about penises, it's Talking Cock. But after the show, I'd done all my signings and stuff at the end, said hello to people, and a woman kind of sidled up to me, pushed her quite hefty but fairly soft breasts against me, and whispered in my ear, "Do you fancy a blowy?" Which is a sexual technique, Connor. I don't know if it's. I won't go into details, but it involves putting a man's erect penis in someone's mouth. I kind of assumed. I'm not going into details. He has to work out the rest himself. I'm not going to show you, not anymore, not since the Operation U-Tree thing got involved. In the old days, 2 years ago, I'd have been right down after the show. Come on, it's only a bit of fun, we're all in showbiz, but not now. I've learned a valuable lesson. I kind of assumed she was joking, and I went, well, I'm married, as I mentioned in the show, so I assumed she was joking. And she said, no, really, my husband would really like to watch me giving you oral sex. And then she indicated her husband, who was a man sort of standing quite nearby, I hadn't spotted, he was just sort of staring at me quite intently, like that. Which I freaked me out a bit, really, because even if I had wanted to have a blowjob from this, it was quite confident of her to think that I would want a blowjob at all. I kind of admire her confidence, but maybe she's had a lot of success. But, you know, the fact that her husband was going to be there as well, that was slightly off-putting to me, because, you know, sometimes it's quite nice to receive oral sex, but not if there's a man, presumably an onanistic kind of sat here in the corner, kind of enjoying it. You know, it's her husband. At some point, he's going to go, what the fuck are you doing to my wife? And come stab me in the face. I don't know how she thought this was going to happen. So I politely turned it down. But I have had, also in when I was in South Wales, it's kind of the West Country, South Wales. It's, I don't know if I'm giving out some kind of swinger vibe. I don't know if I'm doing that. Maybe it's this shirt. Are there any swingers in and who can tell me whether have I done something like, because you're meant to be, there's certain trees you have in your front garden or something, isn't it, that mean you want to do it. Have I done something to my hair which means I want to watch a man while, oh dear, or be watched by a man? That doesn't really do for me, being watched by a strange man. But another man came up to me and he was from Swansea. And I'd been taking the piss out of Swansea, and he said, if you ever come to Swansea, you can stay at my house. I went, yeah, that I'll probably do that. I'll probably definitely do that, because, you know, that'll save me like £60, and you probably aren't a murderer. And then he said, because me and my wife are swingers, you know, you'd be welcome to join in. So I don't know what's going on. Then he stared at me, and I kind of, he just like, he sort of stood there smiling at me. I think he was a little bit drunk. And he sort of started chuckling, and then because he was chuckling, I started laughing at him because he was laughing, and then he started laughing because he thought I was laughing at him, and he laughed more. So we just literally about 45 seconds just stood there going, ah, ha, 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 in each other's faces, which then made me laugh more, because that's kind of quite an odd, to be having a swinger laughing in your face as you're laughing at him. So no, I'm not going to go there, but thanks for having me. And the English Defence League have been outside picketing the show. Because they found out that I am partly Welsh, and my guest tonight was born in Wales, so they're furious about that because they only like England, the English Defence League. Anyone who isn't English has to leave, and anyone who isn't really fucking stupid and basically looks like a Shrek, the one I saw, they've taken my advice, but I'm not sure it will lead to success. For them. And now you're watching at home, you can see the people who are at home thought, God, he's very slick, isn't he? The way he just remembers everything he's doing. I think that's it. Yeah, pretty good. So I think I did pretty well. Although actually on the Talking Cock Tour song, I started asking the audience to tweet me about things. And a couple of things, because you think I've been studying penises for 10 years now, almost as long as you've been alive. Not your, no. I'm not even interested in that. It's weird. I mean, the worst thing you'd want to do, I mean, 15-year-old boys are really fucking annoying. The last thing I'd want to do is have to have sex with one as well. Imagine how annoying it would be. I feel sorry for paedophiles, I do. That's the best you can do, a 15-year-old boy. What's wrong with you? I'm a terrible man. We can edit this out, right? There's kind of a couple of things that I'd never kind of envisaged thinking about before that have come up this week from the audience. One of them is a nurse who used to work in an accident and emergency ward, and I think there's medical confidentiality, but she seemed to not worry about that. And she said a man would come in regularly to the accident and emergency ward with a pencil jammed in his urethra, right through the herring's eye, right up into... into his urethra, and it was too far up to get out again. But he would come in all the time. This has happened all the time. So in the end, they made him a wood, you know, a pencil shaped thing with a ball on the end, so that he could put it in and then be able to extract it, because there was a ball. It's quite clever, but he didn't like that. And it makes you realise that he obviously got off on the fact that it would get lost, and probably got off on the fact that he then went into an accident emergency and someone had to remove it. But what they didn't tell me was whether it was point first or eraser first. I don't know, I've never put anything up my urethra. I think we may have a new emergency question. It might be the opening gambit. Chris Addison now mentally fricking for a Rolodex in his mind, thinking, what have I put up there? If we get anyone to admit that, bet Stephen Fry has, don't you? Stephen Fry's the guest next week, if you're interested. There are no tickets left for that one, so you'll have to buy the £3.50 video download. But am I pushing that too much? Yes, I think so. Oh, and the other guy was someone who said he had a friend. Again, this might not be a friend who could get 105 10p coins into his foreskin, and they called him. They used to call him Donkey. But after he did that, they called him £10.50, which which I quite liked. Is that right? No, maybe 15, was it? No, 105. I don't know. I can't do maths anymore. I've got two A-level maths. It's no good, Connor. Don't bother doing studying at school. I got 11 O-levels, proper hard O-levels from when it meant something, not GCSEs like you're going to get. Proper hard O-levels. Four A-levels. I can't remember even how. I can't even times 105 by 10 anymore. That's how stupid I am. Good. Good. Well, people were laughing. Then I started talking about maths. Slightly lost them. So I think it's the perfect time to introduce my first guest of the new series of Rahel Estepa. I thought I'd catch you out there. He is best known, of course, for his appearance in the TV show Doc Comedy. That is why everyone has come to see him. We'll be talking about that at great length. Will you please welcome Chris Addison, ladies and gentlemen? Here he is. Christopher Addison. Oh, he's a professional stand-up comedian.
You told me to take this. You said, you should take this straight out. You sabotaged this to put me off.
I told you to do something visual, and you did. Let's not explain what it was.
Yeah. Anyway, it was amazing. Straight out my racist eye. The herring's eye.
Yeah,
nice. Why don't you call it that?
I'd love to. I genuinely, as I've said before, think that was Stuart Lee's finest. Definitely the funniest thing he's ever done was Pliny in Hystor's Eye. I was the straight man, or crow, in Hystor's Eye, but Stuart Lee was extremely funny in it. I'll ask you, seeing we've got a new emergency question. Have you ever put anything up your urethra?
Well, I was mentally flipping through my Rolodex.
Yeah. I thought you would be.
And then I realised, a Rolodex?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. You can train yourself to. Maybe that's what the guy was doing. If it was point first, if he put it point first up the urethra, maybe he was one. Maybe he'd lost the use of his hands. He couldn't write any other way. He was ambicoxtrous. He could only write with his cock. Yeah. It's difficult because, to get any purchase on the paper, he would have to be fully erect. Yeah. Then he wouldn't be able to see what he was writing. He'd only be able to use tracing paper and have to teach himself to write or read backwards. I've thought about this too much.
You have done very well. He'd need some lead in his pencil. Someone heckled me with that, and I see that's getting a round of applause. Someone heckled me on the night. I thought that was brilliant. Got nothing in Hartford. No, yeah, Hartford. That's where it was. Hartford, Hampshire, and Hampshire.
We haven't paid to hear you, young man. It's a gentleman there.
Yeah. So let's talk about everyone will want to know about Doc Comedy, which was your 2000.
Yeah, hanging out for series two.
Yeah,
still hanging out for series two.
Was it your first TV?
No, it wasn't. No, my first TV. No, the first thing that I ever did was the Comedy Network.
I didn't do it.
Stuart did that, didn't he? Stuart did that. And the Comedy Network for. He didn't do it, Stuart did. Did Stuart do that?
What's happened to him since then, though?
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
He's a big star for the Comedy Network.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. He was great. You should do it if it comes back, because obviously it's the first step. it was that, which was our management company created that show, and they didn't even give you a gig on it.
To be fair, I wasn't really doing stand-up in the 1990s anymore. I kind of gave up.
It would have been good though if they'd had you on. And now to do an hour's play. Please welcome with Emma Kennedy, Richard Herring.
Yeah,
it would have been great. So that was the first, and then the next thing that I did was the team who made most of the team, the same production company, made Doc Comedy. Made a show called The Alphabet Show, which was the first show on the now defunct UK Play channel. And it was me and Lauren Laverne. Oh. The producer has just written Iron Man 3.
Wow.
He was the producer of Doc Comedy also. So,
Me
and Gail Porter.
Looking at things on the internet. So it was before its time, because it was like.
It was before the internet.
It was before the internet.
I mean, that's really why it failed as a show. It was just. I mean, it takes ages for pages from CFAX to load. So, you can only get through three of them. It was Channel 4, so when it loaded, you were halfway through an advert.
What went wrong?
It was shit.
You know what I think would have improved it? If you put a Shrek in it, because I know it's got tired that, but I'm gonna walk away into the ground because Shrek the movie didn't actually come out until 2001.
Yeah.
If you put a Shrek in Doc Comedy, you would have originated Shrek and owned
all the rights to it, really.
Isn't it based on a book?
It is, but you would have been the first person to put it on.
Dark comedy was based on the internet. We surely owe the internet some royalties.
Yeah.
I think that's why it never went any further. It's tied up in legal claims. And it never went any further because it was dreadful. And it's one of the most depressing experiences in telly. And it's quite a wide field. You've worked in telly. Mm. Depressing experiences in telly are quite a wide field. And but we made what we thought was a really good show, or we were about to make what we thought was a really good show. And then 2 days before, one of the executives came and went, change all of this, and it became hideous. Yeah. It was a horrible experience. And we were kind of bonded together in the sheer horror of it. Because from that, with the point that they ruined it, we had 7 weeks to get through where we knew we were going to have to just churn out this dreadful dreck. and there it is. And it's there.
Did you ever get your naked body projected onto the House of Commons and Big Ben?
Do you know what? I'm pretty sure that came up in a meeting. but I couldn't write it down in the time as my pencil was the wrong
way up. Good, and let's get this out of the way as well. Because
no, I want to talk about Dark Comedy more, Rich.
Do you have an amusing story from...
No, it was awful.
That's what the kind of thing...
Yeah, I've never seen a bronze one. Mine's gold.
Bronze. Yeah, but you had a radio station behind you.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I had to do that on my own. I made this show like a four-year-old child would on his own.
Richard, go in a corner and make a podcast.
And now I'm filming it, so I am on the telly. If someone puts it... If someone downloads it and then watches it on their telly, I'll be on telly. And that is how telly is now.
Telly's
defunct anyway.
So you're going to be streaming on Netflix. You're just going to wait and put them all out in a go, like Arrested Development.
You never know. You never know, Chris.
You've got a good idea, though, haven't you?
I have. I think it is going to. I want to get this out of the way, because this is a very important
thing. Is this going to be about the flat?
It is about the Edinburgh flat.
Okay,
we shared an Edinburgh flat, I believe, in 2002. I'm talking cock the first time around.
That's right.
It was a flat with you, me, Dan Antopolsky, Stuart Lee, Richard Thomas, the composer of Jerry Springer the Opera.
Yeah, that's right.
We seemed to get on well. It was a nice flat.
It was great.
But one night, the kitchen cupboards, we came back, got up in the morning, and the kitchen cupboards, someone had punched them all and broken all the kitchen cupboards.
I think it was only one cupboard, and it was really quite shittily done. So it's just I don't know what I've just done there.
So somebody in the flat had got angry and punched a cupboard.
Antopolsky, definitely.
You think it's Antopolsky?
Yeah, almost certainly.
I think it was Stu. I think it was Stuart Lee, but I've always thought it was Stuart Lee. But when I asked him, he didn't remember, but I think he probably did it in a drunken rage.
Well, we had a flat meeting about it. I'm absolutely certain that he will have remembered that, Stuart.
Absolutely certain, because he was so...
It was horrific. Just all of us sitting there, and we were... I was 30. I was in my 30s, so we're all men in their 30s, more or less. Having a fucking flat meeting over who's decked in some shitty MFI cupboard. And it was what it came down to, Rich, was essentially a massive subtext between you and Stu. That's essentially what it was. You did it, I didn't do it. Well, you didn't bring the props that time. 7 years ago in the Oxford Review, you bastard.
I've always thought it was Stu, but I think it was you.
You think it was me?
I have a new piece of evidence that I've remembered.
This is like a shit episode of Murder, She Wrote. Wait, I've got another clue that I forgot from earlier.
I don't think it was Antopolsky. You know, in the way, he might be the most likely person to do it, because he's... I've talked to him. I did Edinburgh Fringe podcast, if you want to check that. I did discuss it with him.
And what did he say?
I can't remember, because I never remember any of this.
Okay.
I just keep talking.
You've made too many podcasts.
But I vividly recall... We're talking about things that annoy
you. Do this. I put it to you.
I remember you saying the one thing you didn't like...
Was
when people left cupboard doors open. And I can understand why, because you're a tall man. And you could have walked into a cupboard.
This is absolute bullshit.
You see, the fact he's denying it proves it was him.
Was it you?
It wasn't me.
This is what I'm getting off
it
the
wasn't
bits.
Me. Why would I keep bringing it up and I'm filming it? This
why are people paying £3.50 to have us rehash an 11-year-old
cupboard smashing incident.
A body language expert could watch this now and go, yeah, look at the way Chris Addison's sitting there.
Yeah, mate. Leaning He's in, guilty. Open. Look at the way Rich is turning away.
I'm facing the audience.
That's yeah, that's true. That's true. Who don't know the truth.
But I remember you saying, and I used to leave, because I used to leave the cupboards open all the time. That's the kind of, I remember I got upset by something in the kitchen.
You didn't, dude.
And I always open cupboards, and I do it all the time.
I tell you when you
so it would be kind of my fault, Chris, and I wouldn't blame you. And if you just admit it now, we can put this whole thing to bed.
I'll tell you what, I will admit to, which made you so angry. What you should do also is, Rich and I think I've lived with you for longer than most other humans. Overall, over the years. Maybe. We spent years sharing flats in Edinburgh. And people came and went, but we were the kind of couple who couldn't move on in the centre of it. And Colin and Fergus, one of the last flats that we shared, the year of the internet poker.
Yes.
Yeah. And every day you would sit near the window in your dressing gown nicking the wireless signal from the people over the road to play internet poker. Do you remember that? You were furious because one of Colin or Fergus had made some porridge and not washed the pan, and it had been, you'd left it, yes, you deliberately left it for 2 weeks, and one day I just went, oh fuck it, and washed it up, and you were so angry with me.
They should wash it up.
They should, but it would still be.
Yeah, they should do it. That annoyed me, and that's when you admitted that you didn't like cupboards being left open.
Is that when I admitted it?
I put two and two together.
I'll tell you my favourite Antipolsky story from when we were staying, and it was that year that we were with Jenny Eclair in a flat. So imagine that. So there's the three of us, me and him, and Jenny and Dan, and then. My writing partner Carl was staying with us, and we were sitting in the kitchen. In our kitchen, we had one of those drying racks over the oven. You remember, the nice Victorian drying racks.
Yeah.
And there was always a towel. There was always a green towel over this every day. There was a green towel over this. And Carl and I, it's just the middle of the afternoon, no real conversation. What is that? Why is that towel always there? And Antipolsky passed the door. And I went, Dan, why is that towel always there? Is that yours? And he went, oh. And he looked really, so he looked genuinely upset. And he went, it's my towel. He said, my girlfriend just takes the piss out of me. Every day I shower with it and I wash it and every day, and I wash myself, I dry myself with this towel, and every day after I've dried myself, the towel it stinks. It just stinks. And I don't know what it is. I don't stink. I don't know what it is. It's really eating away at him. And so I have to wash it. I wash it every day. So every day it's drying there. And he went, okay. And he walked away with his head down. And then I swear to you, 15 seconds later, Ginny came careering around the corner in a t-shirt and her knickers going, oh, 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 and she opened the oven and a massive black billow of smoke came out and enveloped this. And she took out some burned bacon and went, I burn that every fucking day.
Because he wouldn't know what bacon smelled
like.
Yeah, because
he's Jewish.
Jewish guy, so.
That's why it makes it crueler in many ways. It's bacon.
Oh, good. It was happy.
Anyway,
days. Well, Andre Vincent always nicked one of my towels once. So
it is Andre Vincent.
Yeah, he stayed in our flat as a guest about a few years ago, and I'd hang my towel up on a radiator to dry, and one day it kind of disappeared, and I was going, "Where's?" There's another mystery of Edinburgh, but I solved this one. Because when everyone was out, I went look around their rooms to find out who got it. Because it was my big bluey, I call it. It's my favourite towel.
My big bluey.
It's blue and it's quite big.
Oh yeah, good.
Yes, so I call it big bluey.
I've got you.
And Andre Vincent, who's quite I'm not the thinnest man in the world, but he's quite a chubby man. And he'd just seen a towel and decided he would use a towel on the radiator. He said, "Oh, I thought it was just there to be used."
What does his weight have to do with
it? He'd been drying his massive big ass with his. He'd been drying it.
Well, that'll do my ass.
I bet he doesn't even. I don't.
He calls it small bluey.
I don't think he even washes his anus properly. So it just he'd be slightly
doing
down
the inside of his own herring's eye with this. Feeding it, whizzing it round like that, and then feeding it in. All done, ready for the show.
So that was it's, you know, these things are important in Edinburgh. And we could have lost our deposit. Simon Street and came and mended those cupboards. We were lucky.
That was the year also that we... What a bunch of fuckwits we are. The very first day we got there, we had a panic. We left the house. I think we left the flat to go to get something to eat or go to the pub or something. You know, because it was when you arrive in Edinburgh like 2 days before, it's the only time you can ever go out with your friends because you're all, otherwise you're all, you know, on stage somewhere. So we went out. And we couldn't shut the door. Whatever we did, we couldn't shut the door. Fuck, the door's fucked. It's fucked. How are we getting it? We couldn't go. We couldn't think of a single thing. We kept trying all of the different keys. But the door just wouldn't shut. And we called Simon Streeting. And he went, oh. And 5 minutes later, he turned up at the flat and went, let's have a look. And he looked at the thing. And you know on Chubb locks,
yeah,
those little discs of metal to... Well, it just got out like that. It just kicked out like that, and it was in the way, and it wouldn't shut the door. And he just went and walked down the stairs.
That's why we need technical people. We're artists.
We are fucking idiots.
It was you.
Sorry, it was not me.
It was definitely not me.
But
I've been blaming Stu all these years.
It was the weirdest thing being in that flat meeting, though, because
there was no flat meeting.
You don't remember this. There was a flat meeting. It was one of the most awkward things I've ever been in, because it would have been awkward if it had been a student house. It would have been an awkward meeting watching two people kind of have this massively subsexual conversation. But it was you two, and you know, and I'm a comedy fanboy, so I was watching two of my favourite people having this weird fucking round. I was thinking, it's only a few years ago I was watching these idiots on the telly thinking, I wish I could be them. And there they are, it was you, you fucker.
It definitely wasn't me. I am innocent. Why would I bring it up?
You bring it up a lot for somebody.
These two people here are butlers, so you must know a lot about cupboard doors and stuff, because
that's the kitchen staff. How people hand them that?
They have to get the chalices out and stuff for the Lord. It's closed behind you. Always closed behind you.
That's not a thing.
Says always closed
you
behind.
Just leave them open. Your families are well known for hurting their heads.
You do what? Leave them open. Yeah, because
you leave them open.
If you leave them open, then when you need something else, it's easier to get in there. If you close it, you have to open it again. It's a lot of hassle. I'm short. They're always up high. I'm fine. That's why you got angry. But you thought, but Richard Herring's face.
Well, I'll tell you the evidence that would suggest. It's so hot in here. Is anybody else hot in here? The evidence that would seem to damn me is the fact that it was won and it was pathetically done. And that is very much my MO. Cupboard.
All right, it might have been stupid.
Well, I know. Well, you need to get Richard on the podcast,
and Richard
then
Thomas.
Then all of the suspects have been interviewed except you.
I'm cross-examined every time about it. I don't think it was Richard. I was going out with a journalist at the time. It might have been her. They're kind of evil, aren't they? Journalists are evil.
No, she's a nice journalist.
She is
though.
Nice, but you know that's. I think that about you. You're nice.
But I'm not.
You're too nice. That's what I mean. You're too nice.
Something's going on.
Yeah. So you have all this thing, and then when you get in the kitchen, I hate the world.
I wonder about myself the whole time. Whenever I open my office, I think, I wonder what I've put on the walls. I wonder if there's somebody's skin up there. Yeah. I'm probably awful me in secret. Yeah. No, it's just a poster.
Having said that, I do a podcast where I play myself at snooker and I get confused about the two personalities. So it could. There is a possibility it was me too who did it, I suppose.
I never thought of that. Was it a sort of snooker cue shaped? It's a shame we can't go back and dust for chalk.
What, with some other chalk?
Yeah, that's one of the problems with chalk. Is the ideal weapon for a murder, because how are you going to test for fingerprints?
It's good.
Brilliant.
Very good. So
can we cut that bit out?
Well, so you can use that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're currently in a film. I mean, you're not currently in a film, because you're currently here. your latest film.
Well, the British film industry really is fucked, isn't it?
We are big
budget,
film.
Yeah.
But you're in a film called The Look of Love with Steve Coogan.
Yeah.
In which you have quite an amazing beard and curly hair, I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And you seem to take quite a lot of cocaine.
Loads of cocaine.
And it's one of them off of a lady's bottom.
Loads of cocaine. Yeah, one of them off a lady's sternum. Off a sternum.
Oh, a sternum.
Yeah. Cokie Sternum?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Cokie Sternum.
We did it because he was back in the film. So, did you have... What... When you have a scene like that, I don't do much acting.
I hated it. Was that going to be a question?
Well, did you? Well, no. Yeah, partly. Was it good? You know, did you get a bit of a turned on by the naked lady? Yeah. There was an actual naked lady there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you could see her and touch her and with your nose.
Yeah, and it's legal.
Yeah, there's nothing.
You're totally allowed. See you, darling. I'm going to work.
But no, what research did you do for? Because I don't remember. I don't remember us taking an awful lot of cocaine. We ate a lot of cheese. I remember.
We ate a lot of cheese. There was a lot of cheese. You got when you sick, didn't we make you sick on the cheese?
We found a really good cheese shop. It won't all be about the 2002 Edinburgh flat. We found
this was 2001 actually. This is 2001.
It was a different one. Yeah. We found an amazing cheese shop. We all like cheese. We bought a massive thing of brie or something. Really stinky brie.
Shitloads of stuff. Right. Give us the stinkiest stuff you've got in the shop. What's that blue stuff? What's that stuff that's hovering off the counter? Some of that.
And then we come back late at night and eat a big chunk of cheese.
Yeah.
And you know,
go to bed.
Don't eat cheese before you go to bed, Connor. That's just what I've learned from my life. I'd have just the most genuinely hallucinatory.
That was my fault because I thought I was being very clever because we didn't keep it in the fridge. Do you remember that? We didn't keep it in the fridge. This is my fault because I was going, no. You don't want to refrigerate cheese because you can't taste it, you see. Well, I actually mean just take the cheese out a couple of minutes before you can eat it, right? It doesn't mean leave it in a cupboard in August. But that is exactly what we did. Well, what I did, and you going, I'm sure this isn't right. I go, it is, Richard. It's completely right. I've been to restaurants. Yeah, and I think that's why...
It's amazing we managed to survive in this flat. So, you know, I don't think, you know, I don't know whether you take lots of cocaine in your day-to-day life.
I never have. And the day before, I went for my beard fitting, right? It's all fitted. It's all done.
That beard isn't real.
No, it isn't. Wow. No, it's not real. No, I know.
Disappointed.
It's okay.
It's all lies from the film world. Yeah.
Yeah, none of the ladies have pubic hair. We had to... And there's no such thing as merkins.
No. Why have you used the word merkins?
Because
there's no such thing.
No, they don't have them anymore. They used to have them, but they don't have them anymore. So what they have to do, because a lot of the women in the film were real adult models, because they were being asked to do real adult model things. But in their line of work, they're shaved. They have no pubes anymore. So they had to be made up to make it look like they did. So and no merkins. So... improvisation. What they did was they would, to make a merkin now, you take two sideburns, turn them upside down and sew them together, stick them on. So every time you see that film, when you see a lady with pubes, that's some fella's head hair.
Yeah. Is that with the sideburns are made of real...
The sideburns are real. They're
farm for bloke.
No, there's a room full of men just trying to grow like...
Because I tell you, I'm very happy to let my sideburns go to that particular course.
You're not attached to them at the time. They come off your head first.
Okay. Even so, just to know that my... You know, I've been married for a year, just to know that part of my body is touching the tender of another lady is enough.
Wow.
As long as her husband's watching.
That was fucking weird, wasn't it? That was weird. I once, years ago, when I started doing comedy in the kind of mid-90s, I was doing a gig in Stockport in, I think, the Crown Pub. And this girl came up to me afterwards and she looked slightly embarrassed, but she's this very statuesque, long blonde hair, and pressed a piece of paper into my hands. And scarper straight away. And I looked at it, it was a folded over piece of paper, and it was folded over twice. I unfolded it once, and it said, I would like to have sex with you. And then her phone number, her home phone number.
Yeah, well, that would happen.
Right, so, hello, is a blonde lady there? She mentioned something about sex. Could you put her on, please? Well, could you call her in from the garden? But I unfolded it a second time, and it was a receipt from Quicksave for 500 Lambert and Butler and a bottle of No Frills ketchup.
Wow.
Sexy times. Put it on me. I've got.
So did you go and
Oh yeah, yeah. Put me off ketchup for life. But I'm on 500 in Lambert and Butler a day.
It'd been good if it had been folded over and it had just been the body drawn on there, and then you had to draw the head.
Yeah, the consequences. No, I see. I would like to have sex because. But no, so the day, I went in and have this beer fitted, and it was in the production studios were in production offices were in Duck Lane, which is in Soho, just opposite a record shop. It's a little tiny lane. There's nobody much outside it, but they were just setting up to do the film, and there was a lot of one of the things that happens in the film is Jean Raymond, Paul Raymond's wife. He about 10 years after they got divorced, he took photos of her for a spread in Men Only, and so they had this. They had photocopied versions of this all over this desk, and I bumped into the art director just on my way out. He went, "Ah, glad to see you." He said, "I've got you some stuff," because my character was a tremendous cokehead, and he kind of put down all these silver pipes and razor blades and period credit cards and stuff, and he said, and he held up this bag of white powder and went, "And this is stage coke." And he said, "Oh, that's right." He said, it is 100% scientifically safe. And I went, "Oh, great, what's that?" He went, "I have no idea." And so I've never taken coke. So, you know, how do you do it? He went, "Well, neither have I. But I'll show you," right? And he started to... He's great. I mean, he started to sort of, you know, measure it out and chop it up and try and show me how this is all done. You know, now you have a go. And I went, okay. And it was as I was doing that I realised we were on the ground floor with a window where that curtain is now in Soho, surrounded by porn with I've only got his word for it, and nobody else knows that this is stagecoach. Click. That's my career done, isn't it?
Could be a whole new chapter. It doesn't seem. It doesn't seem to harm all the other people in show business who've taken it.
No.
But yeah, I think
that is all the other people. It's only you and me.
Is it? Yeah. Thor I heard. I don't think ever did it.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't know.
Before she signed that Songs of Praise contract.
They could do anything back in the '70s. Let's face it. So it never got into trouble. So yeah, and
really didn't.
How late would you stay up to get lucky?
Oh, no, I'm past 10, I'm no good to anyone.
That's what I think.
I've got to be in bed.
Yeah.
And what does get lucky? I mean, you mean sexually lucky?
Well, they don't specify.
I schedule that now. I think, you know, life's too complicated without having to wander around till sun up looking for itinerant Australians with jet lag who are still around.
I'll go to some emergency questions. Oh, I feel a lag.
None taken.
No offence. But no, because we're having such a nice time, I don't want to. And it's a new season of Rahel Estefan. So I don't want to just keep banging on with the same old questions. So I've come up with some new questions. Would you prefer to have a hand made out of sun cream or an armpit that dispensed ham? It's a whole new era.
So wait, so it's only me who's not taking drugs, is that?
It's a whole new era in Rich Tanning's Leicester Square Theatre podcast.
Would I put a hand made of sun cream? How would that work physically? I mean, would it just sort of constantly renew itself so it had some kind of structural validity? Or would
it would be viscous enough to hold itself together, but if you touched anything, that would just be covered in sun cream.
True.
It would just collapse. The minute you touch anything, it would go...
Although, super for a speed wank.
Yeah.
Do you just need to get something out of the system?
You touch your penis, and then your penis would just be covered in. It would just your penis would just be covered in sun cream. You could then use your other hand. I guess
you can get no purchase at all using this.
As you're walking around, it's fine. But the minute it touches,
it maintains a hand shape so as not to freak out passers by. With this dripping.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it wouldn't be very nice. It's kind of an easier question than usual.
And how would
that would be pretty inconvenient. And then the ham, you just have
what
ham.
What sort
you
of
do
size?
That.
Oh, so, it's when you do it. It's when you want it.
Visual just to keep it.
It's when you want it, right? So it's when
Oh, yeah, it's not just going to come out any time. That would be ridiculous.
Sorry, what was that?
There'd probably be a catch on it which might confuse you as an artist. There'd be a little metal catch that you could flip across. So if you were, impersonating a chicken, it wouldn't just come out. Because obviously a lot of people would be going, oh! So you'd need to flip across the latch on the
and then
you'd do that, and then ham would come out.
And then And this ham, tell me. I mean, tell me about the ham. Is it? Are we talking that kind of glistening, water pumped supermarket foul bread ham, or are we talking? As Dutchy Originals had a look at it.
Well, I think it would come out as in a, you know, like a tube of ham.
A tube of ham. A sausage. Yeah.
But like
a tube of ham.
Yeah, so I reckon it'd be like a, if there is such a thing exists. If people wanted if people just wanted to, you know, put some some ham on stuff, they'd get a tube. And so it would come up like a paste.
Like that one of those Matteson sausages, isn't it? Yeah. One of those.
Can we,
yes. Yes. Well, okay, I'm going with that.
I mean, you're going with ham.
Yeah, I love ham.
Yeah.
And I hate the sun.
All right. It's not a very good question. It's not. The thing is, the original question is so much better that you can't mess with it, Chris.
What was the other question?
The original proper question. Let's go back to classic. What would you prefer to have, a hand made out of ham or an armpit that dispensed sun cream? Completely different.
I think the original question is not as good as the
I disagree. It was nice to have the change of variety.
I see the armpit. I think this dispensing armpit is excellent.
Whatever comes out of it, you would have.
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, I'd like it to be a lucky dip in some respects. I'd like to not know what was going to come out of my armpit next. So if you're just in a restaurant with somebody you've known for a long time, there's a sort of longer pause in conversation, you just flick the latch. Right, there you go. Look at that. A gonk.
It could be like a children's TV character, this. Chris Addison and his magic armpit.
How? It's got to have an educational aspect, though, doesn't it?
Because it reminds me a little bit of Jimmy Savile. That he had that, didn't he? He had a similar thing.
He had a chair that gobbled children.
Whatever came out. It's a little bit like Jimmy. Why is everyone so down on Jimmy Savile all of a sudden? I haven't been really reading the papers recently. It was magical. He'd give people a badge. Get
out people something they would always remember.
Have you ever? This is a new emergency question that came from the McCarthleth podcast. There's a couple in here I can't remember the provenance of. Have you ever eaten asparagus?
This is an emergency question. What emergency is this good for? Because it's nothing to do with an interview.
Maybe. It's an interesting question. We'll get to know a little bit about you.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, good.
I ate it last on Saturday night.
I had some...
it's the season.
I had some on Saturday as well.
I'll
tell you what I do with asparagus, which is really nice. Have you got a griddle? I bet you have.
Of course we've got a griddle.
Get a griddle, and then you just griddle it. You don't even have to put it in water. It's much nicer. You can put a bit of soy sauce on it and maybe a bit of salt.
Yeah.
It's a delicious snack.
Egg on it.
When you eat asparagus, it's not just, have you ever eaten asparagus? That would be an insane question.
On the other hand, is there a follow-up if there's a no? There's just a second bit, no. Is there a follow-up to get you out?
Because that's interesting that I've met somebody that hasn't eaten asparagus. Yeah. Well, and then if you say that, I've got a plate of asparagus.
Okay, all right.
Under here that I prepared and goes,
eat the asparagus!
I might do that. I might, at the beginning of each interview, make someone eat asparagus and then make them wee and then smell their wee.
Okay.
Because that is the next question. When you eat asparagus, does your wee smell different than usual afterwards?
No.
No. Well, this might be because you don't have the receptors in your nose to smell the asparagus.
Oh, is that what it is? It's not to do with whether or not
it's different. Well, Dave Gorman is the expert on this.
That doesn't surprise me in any way whatsoever.
But some people don't, their wee doesn't smell of asparagus, but some people can't, it does smell of asparagus, but they can't smell the asparagus smell. So you might be one of those.
I'm a non-speller.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's the next stage of evolution, and the human beings will go on to live a happy life where they can eat asparagus and not smell the wee.
So is that like Barocca, when you've had Barocca?
Yeah.
Some people can't see their wee is orange because they don't have the receptors in their eyes.
Maybe. People, colourblind people, probably, yeah.
That's one of the ways to tell whether somebody's colourblind is the Barocca wee test. Yeah, you just slip them a Barocca, then they come back a few hours later, you say, everything all right?
That, obviously, this isn't the end of the questioning.
Okay, fine.
That would be stupid. The emergency question's not going down. The people almost preferred it when I was asking you interesting questions about your life. That isn't what... That's not going to win you.
This is just a protracted
Sony
survey.
Award. Bronze. That's why you get a gold if you just keep on... If you keep on asking the questions that the proper people ask, gold. When you get the asparagus, let's take it down a couple of notches. The Sony Awards going, it's very good, this program. Have you seen the bit where he talks about asparagus for much too long?
But here's the thing, if you carry on doing it long enough,
yeah.
If you ask enough people, you'll be able to publish a scientific paper, exactly. Right? At which point you'll get an award from, say, Nature or The New Scientist.
Which will be good.
Maybe a gold one.
I can add that to the pile of awards. When your wife eats asparagus,
yeah.
Does her wee smell different?
I don't know. What kind of... Are you trying to trick me into... Are you into water sports? Not tonight, darling. No. You've had asparagus. Oh, I don't have the receptors. Away you go.
But if you can't smell it in your own wee, then it doesn't help, because I would... smell hers either, but Dave Gorman won't smell his own wife's wee to find out whether her wee smells of asparagus after she's eaten asparagus.
What is wrong with him?
I'd smell my wife's wee. She asked me to.
Was that one of the vows that you wrote?
If you ask me to do that. All right, we'll leave the asparagus.
No, we need
an emergency question to get out of this. Usually the emergency questions rescue the whole thing. Yeah, but this time
I suppose if you're asking the same question every time, maybe that's your problem.
Well, no, because it leads to different places. This will get sound.
Is it whether the Belgrano is actually sailing away from the...
That's quite a good one. Actually, I've got a new emergency question. If you were doing a Leicester Square Theatre podcast, what emergency question would you ask people?
Well, actually, my emergency question was about who smashed the cupboard, so we've already used that.
Okay. I will ask. I haven't got a pen out of me, so I'll have to remember that.
You're recording it. It should be fine. Okay. There is some record of this.
I don't watch them back.
It's not your sort of thing, really.
I don't
like this.
I understand the kids quite like it. 15-year-old.
Yeah, I know. Amazing.
That is me.
But your audience is aging. He'll be 16. What are you going to do to get the new lot through?
But he's definitely going to outlive me. So that is at least one person. As long as I don't do anything to upset him. Which I might have done tonight. This will get us out of it. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
Do you mean like one of the people in the street that you don't see anymore with their shoes?
No.
Or you mean...
I mean a big, like a Sasquatch.
You don't see those people.
Have you ever seen a Sasquatch?
No, I haven't ever seen a Sasquatch. But then I don't live in North America, so
There was one in, was it Norfolk or somewhere?
What, on
Kent?
Holiday?
There was
on an exchange program.
There was one in the news last time.
On an exchange program with a coot. There's a lot of people in Canada and North America. Who's this? It's just a coot. This is the most disappointing holiday.
They hide in plain sight, Chris. That's what they do. Because if you were walking down the streets of Ipswich or wherever it was, I can't remember.
Well, yeah, how are you going to tell?
If a Bigfoot was coming towards you, go, that can't be a Bigfoot, I'm in Ipswich. And so you would mentally filter it out.
I'm not questioning the idea that they could hide in plain sight. All I'm questioning is that it would have come over to Norfolk for some reason from its usual habitat.
So why not? They migrate. How do you think they got?
You know that thing that people know about Sasquatches is that they fly east for winter. We know this.
Well, there's some. You know, there are the Yetis, obviously related to Sasquatch somewhere along the line.
You mean obviously racist? Oh, they're a big monster. They're a big mythical monster. They're all the same. You racist.
Racist. Just looking at my. Just repeat the thing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
How do you keep... You're quite old.
Yeah.
But you don't... You look really young.
Yeah.
What?
You know all those things you've done.
How do you do that?
I didn't do those.
So you're only like about...
Remember six. Those biscuits? I don't.
Well, you're only about 5 years younger than me.
I am only about...
4 years.
Less than that, yeah. How have I... I don't know. I do nothing. I do no exercise. God, I do no exercise. I tried running for a while, and then my knees went. So obviously I'm not in tremendous physical shape, because he's fucked me up.
Yeah.
I chased my kids down the garden today, and after one go down the garden, I was going... You have fun. So I'm not in tremendous shape or anything. I don't diet.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you want me to... What do you want me to...
I'd like to look... Did you drink from a fountain of youth or something?
I did, but it smells of asparagus. I couldn't... I thought it was a fountain of youth, but the receptors...
Do you remember Big John, Little John?
Yeah, do you remember Big John, Little John?
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was during that kind of period where there were a lot of vice versa... type shows, wasn't it? There was a lot of that going on.
When you look at the titles to Big John, Little John, I know this is something that most of you don't really know what it is. Connor, this was you remember, don't you? You can tell him, and you can look it up on YouTube. Big John, Little John. I'll sing the song for you. This is the kind of thing Peter Kay would do if he just remembered things that no one remembers. Big John has a problem, as you can plainly see. One minute he's 40, the next he's 33. Big
33?
Yeah.
Is that... It's a 7 year difference. He's just 7 years... He's only just begun his mortgage. And now... At about 38, he'd made quite a dent in the capital after a win on the pools.
I think they realised that series wasn't going to work, so then it goes down and he becomes a 10-year-old boy. But there's a bit where he finds a fountain of youth, he took a little drink and that magic water. But when you watch the titles... Is one of the men in between Big John and Little John, the intermediate John, the 33-year-old John, is it Andy Kaufman? Have a look at it. I mean, this is not going to... You know, this isn't going to fly for this audience here, because unless you can all just look up on YouTube now, it really looks like Andy Kaufman. He was in Taxi. He did lots of kind of situationalist kind of comedy.
Yeah.
Fantastic comedian. He died. The Man on the Moon is based on his life, played by Jim Carrey. People at home wouldn't know that I had disdain for that film.
Did you like it?
No.
Why not?
Because
I didn't like it because I didn't like it. Reasoning.
I don't think Jim Carrey was right to be in that film.
Is that because you don't like Jim Carrey?
I don't particularly like Jim Carrey. I don't dislike him. I loved Liar Liar. The film Liar Liar was a very good film.
Did you like The Truman Show?
No, I hate The Truman Show.
Why? Tell me why, Rich.
Because
I really like it. I really like it.
If I had to choose between Sliding Doors and The Truman Show as the worst films of all time, it'd be very hard. It is Sliding Doors, obviously, the worst one.
But, is that the worst film of all time?
Yep. Because both... No, fuck you. Fuck you. You're a fucking idiot. You're a fucker. I'm not even going to... I won't allow someone who likes The Sliding Doors to have a voice in this podcast. I'm going to shout you down. This is not going to happen.
Don't worry. There's another different podcast in an alternate reality where he does listen to you and he agrees.
Because both of these films are very similar in that they're a really fucking fucked up, obvious idea.
Right, you want to cross someone's head before you.
Well, no, because you could do something amazing with both these ideas. Sliding Doors, every film is Sliding Doors, right? But you don't bother showing the other half of it. It is every film. Every film, someone makes a decision that changes their life.
Yeah, but surely the conceit is, why don't we show the other half of this
boring.
Time?
It's boring and pointless. And somehow magically the two things, the bit where it fucking intertwines and she has an accident at the same point, as if fate is gonna, whatever you do, fate will come back to the same place, but then it doesn't even do that because she dies.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Oh no, Peter Howitt's already done that by making the film. Is that his name? Joey from Bread made that film.
Yeah. With all that money they had in the chicken. That's how he financed it.
So that's a terrible film. The Truman Show doesn't even make sense. It's a really obvious idea, The Truman Show, which you could do an amazing film about. The idea of taking someone's life and filming it from the beginning, it becomes entertainment. A, it wouldn't work because no one would watch the first 8 years of it. Certainly the first 2 years of it would be pretty fucking shit. Right, yeah. I don't think people are going to go, oh, look, there's a baby shitting again. Let's watch that for 14 hours a day. It's not going to work, right?
Yeah.
And you know, ethically, there's a big question about whether you would be allowed to do that, which they don't even go into that much. But it doesn't even work within its own reality, in that he recognises that it's a con when he notices someone's going, there's someone behind me who's crossing. You wait. There's someone going to cycle down the road right now. Doesn't make sense. Because why would the people be on a loop? There's no need for them to be on a loop. He's kind of going, I've proved this is a false because they're on a loop. Even if they were on a loop, why doesn't Christoph, their director, go, he's noticed you're on a loop. Get off the fuck, don't be on the loop anymore. He spotted you on a loop. Why did we put you on a loop? Why don't we just let you live? Why don't you just live your life? And if he comes across you, then that will be the story this week.
Yeah.
Why have we put you on a loop? It seems insane. Now I think about it, he was bound to spot the man on a fucking loop.
And this is why shit. Jonathan Ross got that film gig.
Shit.
It's fucking shit!
It's
welcome
shit.
To Film 2013 and with Richard Herring.
It'd be bad, wouldn't it? You'd watch that, wouldn't you? No, even you wouldn't watch that. Wow, fuck. I'm in trouble.
I like it.
Okay, cool. Do you like sliding doors?
Yeah. I don't really. I love Albert Bridge and I always wanted to put it in a script one day and they fucking ruined it. They used it.
Did they?
Yeah. Also, I went to the premiere of that. I was in Manchester and I was next to my friend Jeff who did the worst fart I've ever smelled. To the point where he had to leave.
That would be.
We were in a cinema with a circle as well as the stalls, and we were in the front of the circle, and he just did the worst, most unpleasant fart I have ever.
You should come and
sat in the cloud.
You should come and sleep at my house in my bed,
Rich,
with me.
I have shared so many flats with you.
Yeah, but you haven't. I've got worse. It's got a lot worse. That would be a better film. That'd be a better film if a film where Jeff farts, but then in another reality he doesn't fart. Then let's see what impact that has on. Because, and then the two timelines are really, really different. Because that's what the truth of life is. Every tiny little thing you do impacts on the next thing and changes everything completely. So every time travel film you see where they go back and they kill someone and they come back into the future and all the people are the same, that wouldn't happen. If you went back and killed Hitler, even if you didn't kill Hitler, you just tripped up Hitler or made him go, what, for a second, the whole of history would change. None of the people not yet born would be born.
That's a really
none
nice
of
idea for one of those pieces of footage. Somebody behind him. Suddenly everybody in Europe in front of me goes, no, I'm bored of this. Turns back and they've all went, everybody, go! End of the whole demagoguery thing.
But anything you change...
That's a great film. Pitch
anything
that.
You change changes everything. So if Jeff hadn't farted that day, the whole of history from them, 9/11 might not have happened.
A man farts in a cinema and across... It's an interesting version of chaos theory.
But everything, every single thing changes everything. So we have to be thankful for every atrocity that ever happened. If World War One hadn't happened, none of us would be alive, right?
Well, no, that's true, but there's...
So we have to be glad that all those people killed in World War One.
Yeah, everyone who's
killed
in World War II.
Everyone who's killed in World War Two, everyone killed in the Holocaust, we have to thank them for that, because without that, we wouldn't be alive.
Not sure it works exactly like that.
I think we have to thank
them. There's something in the fundamental idea that you've got there, but I think you might... Just the way you're framing it.
Have you ever seen a ghost, Chris?
Have I ever seen a ghost?
Yeah.
No.
So similar to the Bigfoot question.
No, I haven't.
Okay,
have got all these...
There's another follow-up.
Oh, God. Is this from the seven-year-old you?
Has your sibling ever seen a ghost?
No, I don't think either of my siblings have ever seen, ever seen a ghost. My friend who lived around the corner from me swore that he saw a ghost in the top
hat. I'm interested in that.
Did you see a ghost, Rich? Did your sibling see a ghost, Rich?
You can't just take a question and then answer a completely different question. I'm asking you a question, you have to answer the question. The question is,
I'm so sorry.
Has your sibling seen a joke? And suddenly it's, oh, my friend, someone I knew lived around the corner from me. That's not the question.
I didn't respect the form.
No, you didn't.
Oh, the fuck? Look, I've got two bottles of water. If I take one or if I take the other,
changes human
history. What will happen?
Everything you do changes everything else. It doesn't matter. Nothing you can do about it. Just it does. Like, if you're going to write a time travel film, make sure it makes fucking sense. That's all I'm saying.
You seem to be sort of cross at the tiny bits in films, though, yeah. Like the loop. So well, if they hadn't done the loop thing, like there's a bit where the...
But it's got to make sense within its own universe, The Truman Show, and I just don't think they explored the interesting thing about that. Why put it on an island? Just have everyone in the world is conspiring against that guy anyway. Why put it in an island? Why put it in a context where he can escape? Just make everyone in the world go along with it, and then he has to, and then they're all laughing at him. Okay. Without him knowing, it'd be good.
Okay,
I'm going to
leave that for you.
Okay, so let's talk about.
It's bullshit.
Let's talk about the thick of it.
Oh yeah,
I remind you, you play the character of Ollie.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's all I know about.
Okay.
No, I watch it. It's very good.
Thanks.
How did you get into? Because you were a stand-up comedian. Yeah. You're presenting dot comedy, yeah. Riding high on.
Well, it was the dot comedy thing that really. Because when 5 years later Amanda was putting it together, he went, you know what we need? We need someone who's done some genuinely shit post-pub telly in which they got someone in America to wank into a slipper and send it to them. That's the kind of guy we need.
Wow.
And really, that's quite a slim field.
Yes.
Well, I got it because, I don't really know why. Amanda's quite interesting in that he does sort of look at people and go, you'd be interesting doing this, come over here and have a go. And I
doesn't do that to me.
I think, maybe he's not found the thing yet, really. What happened was Mr. Andy Zaltzman and John Oliver opened a political comedy stand-up club called Political Animal. I went along and did the opening night, and I thought, actually, I don't really have any political material. I don't really know what I'm going to do here. So this is 2002, maybe 3. And so I wrote this character, a Mail on Sunday columnist, a right-wing Mail on Sunday columnist, doing a thing about a speech about immigration. And it's the first and only time that I've ever done sort of stand-up as a character. And Armando happened to be in the audience that night, and that's the only time he's ever seen me do stand-up to this day. And so I think he just thought, oh, he does that sort of thing. And then we met a couple of years later, on the news quiz. And it was just when he'd just done the Yes, Prime Minister, Britain's Greatest Sitcoms thing, and he'd championed Yes, Prime Minister. And he was just thinking about putting together The Thick of It. And we were talking about it over dinner, and he said, oh, you must come in and we'll talk about that. And I didn't, but I went into a... He obviously remembered me for the casting.
You didn't? You just go, nah, fuck off.
Are you insane? That sounds shit. Wobbly cameras. No Sir Humphrey character. Swearing. I don't think so. I went in and did... And I did... You know, you've done castings. They're horrible.
They're absolutely horrible.
But it was the only one. And I had to improvise in this casting. It's the only fun casting I've ever done. It was with the producer, Adam Tandy. And then I sort of forgot about it. And three months later, they rang me up and went, yeah, everyone else has said no. The money's shit. Will you come? And it was great. It was just... Yeah, it was very daunting.
And how much of it is improvised and how much of it is...
Well, there's a lot that's made of the improvisation, which is important, but I think it sort of takes away from the phenomenal scripts that are underneath it. They're brilliantly written, those people, right? And also, because they're brilliantly written scripts, it means you can improvise on top of it because you know that you've got a brilliant thing to fall back on. I think most of the improvisation happened in the...
It'll be back.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so.
Ooh, but, you heard it here first.
Well, not if you read the internet. most of it happens in the rehearsal. So we read the script the table, read the script, and then put the script to one side. And Armando just sort of picks out moments that are either in the script or not in the script that he's sort of thought, oh, well, that would be interesting, and explores the relationship between characters or whatever. And that's the most terrifying part of that whole process. Everybody, oh, it's awful. As long as we've been doing it, I've never not thought, please don't make me do this. And yeah, and then that kind of gets fed. But there's always a writer on hand when we do that, and or two, and they kind of anything that we come up with that's useful, they sort of write down. And that gets fed into the shooting script. And then when we come to shoot it, we do several takes usually of a scene, one at least where it's bang on the script, one where it's nowhere near the script if we've got time at the end, just, you know, go for your life, and one, most of them are just kind of dancing around it, really. So so I think probably what you end up on, what ends up on screen is maybe 10-15% improvised.
Right, yeah.
That's the answer, but the rest of it, you know, most of the stuff that people love is from the brilliant minds of the wonderful writers.
Yes, and the swearing.
The
swearing is the best bit. And I like that.
Well, yeah, except as Arma was saying, it's the words around the swearing that are interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's that's what's brilliant. People like Jamie's iPod rants where he threatens to shove my iPod up my cock. There you go. That's the last thing I had up my cock. It's my iPod, which he put on shuffle with my fucking fist. And but they love that. But it's the image of it, isn't it? It's not people going
it is amazing. It's an amazing British sitcom in that it does feel different than, say, The Right Way.
It does that character does come to our to our world. David Haig's character in The Right Way is the same character Steve Hilton that he's playing.
And this led on to, you were in a film version of it where you got off with Macaulay Culkin's girlfriend.
Yes, from, Anna Chlumsky, yes. Yeah,
from
yes.
My Girl.
From My Girl, in The Loop. Yeah, that's right.
But you weren't the same character in
I was Toby in that.
It was quite different.
I was Toby. It was very, very different character. Very different. If you pause, you'll see that the glasses, different frames. But also, nicer suits, and he's nastier than Ollie.
Right,
actually, but the reason that people always go, "Oh, why did you do what?" With that? I don't know. The reason is because Ollie worked in DOSAC, which is the Department of Social Affairs and Citizenship. We have nothing to do with that, with that situation with the war. So we put him in the Department for International Development, and to take him out of the thick of it, put him in another department, and put him back. Just it would have been too messy. So that's what that's about. Hmm.
What did you, when you were kissing the girl off of My Girl?
Yeah, I was thinking of you. Is that
Weren't you thinking?
I was thinking of
but
you.
But weren't you thinking you were once a child, and what I'm doing is inappropriate? Because you were once a child.
Yeah,
you should. That is, but famously.
Here's a question.
Famously a child.
The girls that I fancied when I was 15 and they were 15. Yeah. Am I allowed to look at photos of them then? And think, no. I really fancied you.
No.
No?
No.
Why not? Because that's my if that's my memory of them. Is that not allowed?
No.
Okay,
let's
fine.
Move on.
I've never seen that film.
You're allowed to say, I really fancied them, but you're not allowed to go, I really fancied them. That is the difference.
Right.
Because now they're grown up.
Yeah.
Well, there is an argument, and I mentioned this in Talking Cup, there's an argument that if you... you're committing rape if you masturbate about someone because you're imagining having sex with them in your imagination without their consent. So I think if you ring them up and say, "Is that okay if I masturbate
that's
over this?"
All right. You have to have consent.
Yeah, this idea. Can I think about this? So
is that just you justifying ringing people up and telling them that you're wanking over their picture?
No, because I would have to do it beforehand. And is it okay if I wank over the picture?
What? Yes. Okay. Already died.
Pardon, if they'd already died.
What if they, you know, like a beautiful,
Did she die?
Like Rudolph Nureyev, I imagine. Something that you.
Did she die? She died.
She dies in My Girl.
So you were having, you were kissing
a dead girl,
a dead girl.
I don't know how old she is.
Didn't you feel weird about that?
Well, I do now. Now you've explained it to me. No, I'd never seen that film. In series three of The Thick of It, the third AD and Olivia Poulet, who plays my girlfriend in that film, in the film, actually, they found one of the sort of props, you know, bits of newspaper lying about, had a TV guide, and My Girl was on, and they cut out the picture of Anna and stapled it to Ollie's desk.
Right.
So all the time, Ollie's got a picture of My Girl as a girl.
Yeah, see, I knew I'd get to the bottom of something there.
Yeah.
And now you directed some episodes of Veep, which is the kind of, the American...
Cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, it's a different thing. It's about vice presidents, played by the Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Is she nice? She seems like she's a pretty nice person.
Yeah, she's great. They're all great, actually. It's a fantastic cast. Yeah.
Isn't that kind of
how do you, isn't it a bit amazing to get...
Here's the thing, Rich. Yeah, it is, but it's genuinely amazing to me. It still is, because I'm still a fanboy who a lot of my sort of comedy was from the late 80s, early 90s. It's still amazing to me that I've got your number in my phone. I find that astonishing. I find it amazing that I'm sitting on the same stage as you. I find that extraordinary. So you can imagine how much Julie Louis-Dreyfus blew my fucking mind, because I'm obviously quite simple.
But lots of my friends have gone on to do like these amazing things with, Simon Pegg is now Scotty in Star Trek.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know,
and this is kind of insane.
Simon at the Buzz Club in Chorlton in the late 90s. Well, I mean, it is mind-blowing. It's really weird, because they're there. You've got, there's Julia there, and there's Tony Hale, who plays Gary, her bagman, who's also a buster in Arrested Development. And there's Matt Walsh, who's one of the founders of the Upright Citizens Brigade. And just these amazing people. And I think you've got to allow yourself a minute of going, fucking hell, inside your own head. Not to their face. Never do it to their face. Inside your own head. You can do it for a minute. And then, you know, you've got to do a job, so you have to just kind of push it down. I do remember a moment, though, where I was standing. It was quite sort of quite a fraught moment we were filming just before Christmas, and we were in the middle of filming the first episode that I did, and they were setting up somewhere else, and Armando and I were standing by the monitors, which you watch all the action unfolding on, and thinking about the next script of the next episode, which I also directed, and there's a plot problem that we couldn't unpick it, and we spent 10 minutes kind of doing this, going, what if, and I was going, oh, and I went, oh, for fuck's sake, and he said, I know, but look where we are. So even in the midst of it, Armando, who is, I mean, he doesn't understand quite the regard that he's held down. I don't think he understands what a genius he is. Even he finds himself going, look at this.
Yeah. Well, I remember, because I think I probably talked about this when Armando was here, but you obviously had the guy who plays Tony Soprano in Sopranos, whose name escapes me for a second, in the...
James Gandolfini.
Yes. Yeah. But I remember a weekending meeting when Armando came in and said, I've just seen this fantastic film called Goodfellas. And so, I know he's not in that, I don't know why that, but I was thinking he was in that, but he isn't, of course, but it all links up. In my twisted brain.
Everything connects.
So we got to how long have we been going for, Ben?
I don't know.
Really? Fucking hell.
Fuck it, let's push on through. Get us a bottle of JD.
If we go long enough, they'll run out. The Welshmen will run out. You're born in Wales, I didn't realise.
Just specifically to annoy these people.
Really?
it's been a long plan. 41 years.
Your family Welsh?
My grand, my mum's grand was Welsh.
Right.
Yeah, but my dad was working in Cardiff, so that's why. They were sort of there for a couple of years, and I was born there.
What does your dad do?
He's a doctor. Hmm? Of course.
And that actually. So, because we're in the serious point, we're at the serious part. We'll get funny again in a bit.
Does the lighting change this?
But we got, it's not about this. What you find with this is you kind of get some laughs at the beginning, and then people get tired after about an hour.
You have to give them a bit of a break.
And then we just have a rest for a bit, and then we'll hopefully do some funny stuff at the end. Why did you do those Direct Line adverts, Chris?
Why not?
It's just a shame.
Why? Why is it a shame, Rich? Why is it a shame?
It's just a shame to see you on there doing that.
Why? What's wrong? Why don't you like it? I'll tell you why I did it. Remember that time that you left that cupboard door open? That was the instant in reality that changed my entire course of life. If you closed that cupboard, I wouldn't have done those adverts. But as it is...
It's true.
They were there. I liked them. I enjoyed them. Yeah.
Anyone else like them? Yeah. Well, that woman, the woman from the first half.
Yeah.
I understand that most comedians do adverts. I haven't really ever been offered to one. I've been offered a couple of things, but nothing on that scale. So it is.
Well, they're mainly health posters.
So it's a difficult. I can understand if someone's going to pay you a lot of money to.
Yeah.
You are the. By the way, Chris, you're the 18th highest paid comedian in comedy. If you take,
I really should tell my bank manager that.
Am I?
Well, according to a thing that the Daily Mirror printed this week,
Daily Mirror.
Have they seen my account?
They have, I think they have. They've seen, I think because no, you must have know. A business or something, that they've seen those accounts.
I'd be interested if that were true.
Right. It seemed fairly hokey to me.
Okay, how much do I earn out of interest?
Pardon?
Do you know how much
400, well, in 2 years you had £400,000.
Did I?
Yeah.
Fucking you must. Brilliant, I can buy that sofa. Do you mind if I text my wife?
Avalon probably.
Call Domino's, we're celebrating.
You may very well have earned that, and our management company just hasn't given you any.
Well,
but why do an advert?
Why do it? Why?
Yeah.
Well, I've never had that same reaction. I know people, I understand, I'm not an idiot. I understand that people seem to not like it. They think that it's something that comedians shouldn't do. I've never quite understood the logic behind that. I know Bill Hicks said it, and that's very important because whatever he says goes. But
because he's dead, so you have to do
he's
what
dead,
he
that's
says.
Right. So we have to. So
it's like a sort of Jesus figure.
Yeah, well, he kind of is. That's sort of how people sort of treat him like he's.
If only Stuart Lee would die. No, actually, because then it'd be even worse, wouldn't it? I hope he just stays alive forever. Until he just says something really racist, and then that's...
Just let him go. Well, he talks quite slowly. It's going to take a long time.
It is.
I've never had that same problem that everybody has. In fact, to the point where when I was a kid, I used to love it. I used to, because we didn't have YouTube, we didn't have, you know, and it wasn't easy to find videos of comedy that I liked and all of that kind of. I had to tape everything off the telly and so on. I really loved it. Fry and Laurie used to turn up all the time in Alliance and Leicester adverts, and John Cleese did Schweppes and Compaq and all of those things, and Vic and Bob did Boost and Jack D, you know, and I loved that because it was like having a little bonus moment with these people that I was a massive fanboy of. So when I sort of first encountered that thing about, oh, they're bad, I didn't really. It didn't sort of really chime with me because I'd always quite liked it. I understand why people think it, and I respect the fact they think it, but there it is. I don't. I have been offered things before and always said no. But then this one came up, and I was offered the chance to work with Xander and with Amelia Bullmore, and Graham Linehan was directing. Do I want to be paid good money to work with some of the best people working in comedy? Yes. That's it. It's easy, good. Isn't it? It's a no-brainer. And I do understand that people don't like it. I do get that. But
fuck them.
Yeah, well, not fuck them. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. But I don't know. It's never bothered me.
Don't. But usually, I'm going to leave it in a second. Usually the people they ask to be on those adverts. I'd ask Stephen Fry about this as well. Because
yeah.
Stephen Fry has made quite a lot of money in his life. And so we kind of think, why do you do them? You know, because you only get offered them if you've got lots of money. I could kind of understand actors who are...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think in a way, you are an actor in it. And it's not you going, hi, it's me, Chris
Addison.
No,
absolutely. And that would be different.
Yeah, yeah. So it is. I think there is a distinction. But it just always makes my... It just makes me, as a comedy fan, it makes my heart sink a little bit
okay.
when I see people...
Right. No, I understand that. But I always had the kind of opposite... I always sort of had the opposite reaction to it. I never
excited.
Had a problem. Yeah, no, I just... I still like seeing Johnny on the PG Tips adverts. I think, I don't see Johnny Vegas enough. I love Johnny Vegas. Yeah. And there he is on my screen for a couple of
I thought
of
you
seconds.
Meant Johnny Thingy from the Biscuit Breakfast. Johnny Vaughan. Biscuits for Breakfast. Do you like that one?
Yeah, yeah.
What's like next? That. Marmalade for lunch? Hey...
But there you are. That's the thing that I would have. That's the thing.
If they bring out lunch marmalade, I'm fucking advertising it. And if anyone else.
Isn't lunch marmalade marmalade? Yeah. Isn't that what that is?
Yeah.
It's one of the many, things it can be used for is eating. An example of this is lunch.
It's a special marmalade.
What was I going to say to you then? There was a thing.
I don't know.
Oh, no. Well, no, in terms of the. People got a lot of money. I think another thing is, I don't know how you feel about this. I've never felt secure, and I never felt secure when I was just responsible for myself, and now I'm responsible for a family of four, and that's my job. My job is to keep them, you know, their body and soul together.
Yeah.
So if somebody offers you money to do something like that, and it's within your own kind of terms, fine. Why not do that?
I think you're right. I think I'm wrong. But I can't really get
bring
out
yourself
of it
to say
it. I can't get
it's
out of
right,
it.
I completely understand. I know comedy fans are furious, and you know, and all the time that the adverts were running, I would, you know, every day I would have people on Twitter and on email calling me a cunt. And now they've stopped. I realise it's just what they think of me.
I can't blame it on the adverts anymore.
But it is a weird thing, and I can completely see it, and I think in a way sometimes comedians who say they won't do them are maybe taking themselves a little bit too seriously, and you're a comedian and it's not like I've got anything to protect, really. I do like jokes about sucking your own cock, which we'll get onto in a bit. It's not like I'm going, oh, look at me, I'm amazing. But I don't know.
But also, it's interesting. I've never quite understood what those principles are. There's a phrase that's attached to it, which is, oh, you sold out. Sold what out? I've never got it. I swear I'm not an idiot, but I don't get it.
Well, I think it's true also that any TV show, BBC show is a bit different, any TV show anywhere else is funded by advertisers.
Yeah.
So you are doing an ad, you're being paid by advertisers. So, you are still doing stand-up, which a lot of people don't do. So a lot of stand-ups do stand-up, they go, I'm on dot comedy, I don't need to worry about doing stand-up ever again. This is my gravy train out of it. There's a lot of people who do that and never go back to it.
Dot comedy was brilliant for my stand-up, actually, because having done, I'd just done the most rubbish stand-up show I've done so far was the Edinburgh before. It was fucking awful.
I didn't see that one. And, which one was that?
It was Gentleman Scholar Acrobat. That was the one in which Gentleman Scholar Acrobat, which is a quote from
Top Cat.
No. No. He's a gentleman of scholar.
Pink Panther.
Yeah, right. So, so that's why I use it. Gentleman
they're usually
scholar
much better than this audience.
They're asleep now. They're
there's
bored.
Something odd going on with this audience. They're usually like definitely a kind of hive mind, Borg mind. You ask them any question, someone will go, Pink Panther. And they're not doing it today, and it's unsettling me.
They're not doing
it. I think they've been hired by someone else to come and unsettle me.
These are my people. They know fuck all.
They don't know anything about anything.
We don't, yeah.
So I got it wrong, but I rely on you to
back you out.
Work hard at school, Connor, so that you can give answers to these. Have you ever
about
seen the Pink
TV
Panther?
Shows that were are over twice your age.
That's why I feel a bit like I've got to that stage now where I'm so old that most of my references are just going.
I can absolutely. Yeah, it's
certainly there.
I remember doing that.
Batman, like Batman. Yeah. See, I'm still down with the kids.
Come on,
sorry, Chris.
I can't remember. What's the... Oh, yeah, no. I called it Gentleman Scholar Acrobat, and I just remember one occasion where there was just this family of four just looking at me like that. And I went, I'm sorry, but did you... can I ask where you're from? And they went, where are you from? Spain. And the only word it seemed in English that they knew was acrobat. And they come to see me, and they were going, he's 20 minutes. He's still on his feet. This is shit. They couldn't bring themselves to leave. And I said, I don't do that. You can't go. And they went... just said. It was a dreadful, dreadful show. And then Dot Comedy happened. And we recorded it in kind of... about this time of year. So, you know, when you're gearing up to Edinburgh. And I just went, right, fuck it. I'm gonna do a proper, really good, really good show. And I think maybe it was earlier because that's when I decided, right, I'm going to do a show about a thing. I'm going to make it about a topic. I'm going to make it about, sort of an explanation of something. And that way, make it meatier, make it more interesting kind of show. And I think it was the horrific experience of Dot Comedy that just kicked me towards, you've got to do something really good now, just for your own soul, really.
It's good. Well, that's all very true of how the creative process works.
Yeah, definitely.
We're coming to the end of the podcast.
It's kind of like respective careers.
We're all I was going to, you already answered that one, so I don't need to ask that. I'll ask, have you ever tried to suck your own cock? Yeah. It must be, yeah.
Of course I have.
I bet you could.
No, I can't, no.
Too lanky.
No, I'm very unsupple in the back, as it turns out. It's
do you know
trouble.
The trick? No one's given me, I don't think, or maybe this was from the McCuntleth podcast, was it? I'm saying, someone told me this, and it's going to be very exciting, but maybe I've already revealed it. You've got to back yourself into a dustbin. Go sit in a dustbin and go back like that. And then you can do it.
I wonder if you were to walk into McCunfleth A&E, if you would see mostly people on chairs and then just three men in bins lined up.
Try it at home. Try that, Connor.
Back yourself into a bin?
Yeah. Into a, like a wheelie bin or a dustbin.
Okay,
a
wheelie bin.
So then you kind of...
you kind of fall into the bin, and then your head and your cock are close together. Was that in the McCumfly podcast?
No, did I mainly what you think?
It was Rufus Hound.
Oh, it's Rufus Hound on the
he's filth
in the Sony Awards podcast. That you can listen to when I got very drunk at the Sony Awards and did a podcast, because I have to podcast everything I do. Once this is over, that there's another podcast backstage where we discuss how we think it went, and I say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be rude, but I did." You're like a can of Red Bull made flesh.
Okay, what's this? Are you trying to have chat up lunch?
That's what the newspaper said.
Okay,
about you.
Right.
Do you think you are? Because I don't think you.
No,
be like
I don't.
That.
I don't really see how that. Works. What does that mean? I mean, I've got a lot of energy.
Yeah. But also, like, a can of Red Bull doesn't have a lot of energy. It gives you a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You're like someone who's drunk a can of Red Bull.
Made flesh. But most people are, in fact, flesh in the first place.
You're flesh.
So I'm like someone who's drunk a can of Red Bull. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
In fact, when we were doing The Look of Love, in that film, I was saying to my wife, my character is a huge coke addict. I've never taken coke in my life. I don't really know what's in it. She went, Chris, most people take coke to get how you are normally. Okay, fine. This will be fine.
So maybe you should take some coke to see.
And just to calm down. I know there was a mutual friend of ours who did that, who calmed down when he didn't take coke. Yeah. Maybe wouldn't have smashed them cupboards. We'd gone and got him some gear. No, it wasn't anybody in the flat.
Saying he crept in out from outside of the flat.
Wasn't anybody in the flat.
Can you do something visual to annoy the people who are listening to this?
Can I do something visual?
Yeah, something. Do something that is solely visual and not... Good. Yeah,
that is my morning regime.
So
fucking hell. There's no way I can suck my own cock tonight.
Were you out with the English Defence League? Because you were loitering around Leicester Square before you came down here. I texted you and asked if you wanted a sandwich.
Yeah.
And you said you wanted all the sandwiches, which I took to mean you didn't want a sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, I said I wanted everything. I couldn't think what they'd have. I mean, like, just right, ham, Chris. Ham, they'd have definitely had ham.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, my old friend, I'll just joke. One of everything, nothing.
Because I just thought, that's not going to happen. What kind of budget do you think we're working on? So were you out with the English Defence League? We're in the...
Yeah, great lads. They're really good, because they're kind of like goldfish. You know, they forget that it's not their round, so you can just tell them it's their round again. They're tremendous. No, I didn't see hide nor hair. I saw a lot of Crystal Palace fans who looked surprisingly... You know, just equanimity. Right. It was on their face. They were just, no, whatever. We just got one. It's fine. Yeah. Just die at Wembley. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any English Defence League people.
I think a lot of people might not know, because they might not have been following my retweets of Lord Sugar's tweets. But Crystal Palace did win today. And that's the only way to find out about football.
And they
scores.
Won the cricket.
Crystal Palace also won the cricket. Well, you got it. I'm trying to monetize the internet in different ways, and one of my Twitter
How's it
ideas
working out for
is,
you?
Is going well. I'm trying to. One of my ideas is to charge people £750 a year for me to retweet Alan Sugar's football tweets. And now you might think, well, that's not. No one's going to pay £750, but you don't get any of the other Alan Sugar tweets. You only get the football one. And for people who have no access to any other part of the internet. Other than my Twitter account.
Yeah.
That's a great way to find out what's probably happened in the football, though he did get the Arsenal-Newcastle score wrong. He left it. It was 1-1, he thought. But it was 1-0 to Arsenal. But what was quite interesting, I did a bit of investigative journalism, because I was retweeting everything.
Did you do investigative journalism, or did you just try and find a thing out?
I looked at my Twitter account.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's a good job, even though it's Twitter, he didn't delete any of this, but he claimed that he lost internet signal so he couldn't tweet about it, and that the tweet got sent after the game by magic. but it didn't, it got sent during the game because I was retweeting it. So he lied. Alan Sugar lied about a mistake he'd made. He's very critical of
the apprentices. I don't think that's even his real boardroom.
I don't think it is. He's very critical of his apprentices when they make stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
And yet when he makes one, he doesn't fess up and go, I'm sorry, I fucked up.
Maybe he wasn't the team leader. You need to ask him who the team leader was.
Yeah, that's true. Whoever, if anyone wants that service, that is £750 a year. And I'll give you the secret address you have to go to. so far.
They should call The Apprentice the least bad clattering arsehole. That's what it comes down to.
I think it seems unfair that they get judged so harshly for having to come up with an idea in 2 hours.
Yeah, and make it. Make some fruit beer and market it, you cunts.
What do you mean?
It's amazing they sell anything, isn't it?
Yeah, I would never have done this. For the start, it's fucking madness. What are you trying to do? Making fruit beer in 2 hours, you stupid cunts. You're all fired. Fucking dicks. And the correct answer was, no, Lord Sugar, give me some admin.
We weren't really going anywhere with that. Look, the last thing I wrote is ways to, and then I just ran out of.
Is that when I came in?
Hello. Ways to. I wonder what I
don't know.
For.
Maybe we'll never know.
For? Ways to.
Ways to. I don't know.
So we'll end with. This is what I'm going to ask everyone this time, because I'm writing a show called We're All Going to Die for Edinburgh.
Yeah, yeah.
And I haven't written anything yet.
No.
But you'll. So I'm hoping you'll come up with some jokes.
You'll be great.
What do you think happens to you when you die?
I think that's it, mate.
Oh.
I think that's it. I think we're done. I don't like to think about it. I really don't like to think about it. I think about it all the time, and I try not to.
Yeah.
I can't even express my own fear about it.
But don't you think that's better than living forever? Don't you think that would be... I mean, obviously, you don't want to die, like, tomorrow.
No, but maybe you could take some time off.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you could have a little time off and come back to it all.
Get your head frozen in a freezer.
Why, I've never quite understood the, you know, because all those people living in jars, just looking at a weirdly distended world where everyone's slightly taller.
In the future, hopefully, they will found a way to make deadheads come back alive and give them robot bodies. I think that's what the idea behind is.
Yeah, then we could make our robot bodies flexible enough that we could suck our metal cocks.
Exactly.
That's the dream.
I would get my head and my cock preserved so that they come.
You could have a better cock.
No, because I want my cock. It's not. I like it.
Why? It's really loyal.
It is.
One of the things I admire about you is how loyal you are towards your own cock.
I know. I'll get robot testicles. I'm not bothered about them. Especially as you get older, you'll find this out. You get into your 40s, it changes.
I am in my 40s.
Well, you get a bit older into your 40s. When you're 41, the life's wonderful, but once you get to 45...
Why, what happens?
I can't tell. No one's allowed to tell you what happens to your testicles. No one ever says what happens, do they?
Is that when the Velcro finally detaches?
There's a butler here. Are you in your 40s yet? Or just... No.
Really?
Shush!
It's fucking just, tough just life buckling, isn't it?
The thing is, you know, we've both got hair. It makes it... anyone in their 40s here who wants to... How are the testicles going? Yeah, they're all right. See, they won't talk about it. They won't discuss it. It's not nice. I'll show you. Do you want to see my testicles after the... It's not...
You know, you want to show people something visual. you can't get on fucking up. You've got your nadgers out so many times on stage.
I have.
You used to write a play every year so that you could get them out.
Yeah,
and this is the point at which my character don't... We know Richard.
But that was, you know, when my testicles were firm and unwrinkled.
Aren't they all... Isn't that wrinkled is what... You had unwrinkled testicles. You didn't get the testicles themselves or the bag containing them.
My testicular sac was smooth.
It was absolutely smooth. Yeah. It looked like the top of a Marks and Spencer's mannequin. That's what it... Looked like Yul Brynner down there.
It did, but now...
Cool. But now it's all gone Alan Sugar.
Maybe as one of the extras... Maybe for a £20 series pass at the end, I'll get Chris Evans to go backstage and film my testicles.
Maybe you should just release a CD of the whole thing, and that's what the print is on the CD. It's just your testicles.
Well, two
vinyl, CDs. Two CDs,
one each. Just gravity takes its course. That's all I'm saying. That's your warning.
Isn't that the same? It's fine.
Any dangling thing.
That's what ball strings for. You don't have any ball strings?
I don't have any ball strings. That's what you get up in Hollywood. Anyone got any questions for the sellout comedian Chris? The
question they're asking is this really happening?
Did we pay to come and see this? Anyone got a question for Chris Addison? Don't be rude to him. He's a very nice man. Oh, hello, Paul John Levy.
Did you ever get told you look a bit like Ed Tudor Pole?
Do I ever get told I look a bit like Ed Tudor Pole?
No.
He doesn't look. That's because he doesn't.
I don't.
Do you ever get told you look a bit like Barabbas, the man who escaped crucifixion when Jesus... Do you ever get told that? Because you really look like him.
You look like Barabbas. Yeah. In all those famous photos.
Oh, not many
you know
people...
that one of Barabbas over the grate with his skirt up like that?
Not many people know what he looks like, but you
that one of Barabbas?
You look like Barabbas, you killed Christ. Indirectly, not on purpose. But it's a good job you did, because if you hadn't, none of us would have been born. So I'm glad Jesus died.
No, but that's and you're supposed to be glad to Jesus
he
died.
Saved, he actually saved us.
That's the point, aren't you? Aren't you supposed to be glad he died?
Yeah,
that's...
I'm fucking delighted. I'd like him to come back down so I could kill him again. I would just crucify him this time. He got off easy last time, the cunt. Fucking hippie cunt. With his Jesus sandals.
That's where he got his name from.
It was, yeah.
It wasn't really called that. It was just we gave him the nickname because of the sandals. Yeah.
I did.
It's what that means, INLI. Sandals.
Anyone got a proper question for Chris Addison that is based in fact? It doesn't look anything like Ed Tempole Tudor. Hello, madam.
What's the worst gig you've ever had?
Oh, don't ask that now.
What's the worst gig you've ever
had? What's the worst gig you've ever had?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, there are quite a lot. They sort of... You don't remember them. You know how women don't remember the pain of giving birth? Because if they did, they wouldn't have any more children, so their bodies and brains don't allow them to do it. It's kind of like that with stand-up. You just don't really remember those.
But twice as bad. Twice as bad.
Just worse. So much worse. But we don't go on about it. loads of them. I can remember doing a horrific... Well, usually they're free ones. Anything that's free, that's terrible. You have to make people pay money, don't you? Otherwise,
yeah,
there's no sort of investment in it, and they go, go on then! Ah, you shit. And it all goes bad from there. But yeah, I can remember sort of once. No one's ever thrown anything at me or threatened to punch me or anything. I'm not telling anybody at home what happened there.
It was amazing.
It was incredible. God, that's totally worth that £3.50.
The next series I'm doing.
Oh, series past £15.
The next series I'm doing in 3D. So the next time that thing that happened, it'll be like it's coming towards the viewer, and they'll go ah.
Is it going to be 3D audio?
It
really felt like it was coming towards the speaker.
Cool.
Never mind terms.
Well, I think we're all tired. It's the end of the bank holiday. I think you were pretty tired when we started, right? Or something weird's been going on today. Maybe just because I've got awards now.
You're just not putting the effort in, is that what you're saying?
I don't know, maybe just it's changed. They liked me when I was a loser, you know, not when I came third. I love that they give you an award for third. It is like being at primary school to get a third place.
No, it's not. It's quite... But actually, it's more impressive to get a podcast one because there are about eight radio shows.
Excuse me, this is not a podcast.
Oh,
award.
I'm sorry. What is it?
It's a radio
well,
award.
Well, there you go. That's even better.
It is better.
What are you complaining about?
I'm not. I'm
you're fucking ingrate. Should smash this on the stage right now visually.
I'm going to keep them here every show we do. Just
really?
To remind myself.
Just to intimidate Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
This is what you're up against. Needy bastard.
Look at that, Stephen.
Chortle.
How many chortle?
I have not heard
have
of chortle. Isn't that lovely and round?
Well, it's been very good fun having you on
it's
my
been great.
Podcast.
I've really enjoyed it.
Have you enjoyed it, audience?
Yeah.
Why don't you fucking do something at the time when we are doing, you fuckers?
I think you've been really harsh on them from the minute you came on for the warm-up.
They like it.
They've been absolutely lovely
like
all
it.
Evening.
They like it. Don't you like it, don't you?
They like it.
Don't you like
oh,
it
this is getting
I'm
slightly
you.
Threatening.
You fucking like
you're
it.
You're getting a picture
if you
of...
tell the police you didn't like it, don't come back in 20 years' time and go, we didn't like it, you made us say we liked it. Because that's not going to fucking cut any mustard. They liked it, and they wanted it, and that's why they came and got it.
Oh, man. They've got 20 years to think of a new kind of tree, and then you're fucked.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Addison!
Thank you.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. We're at Leicester Square. With me, Richard Herring. My guest today was Chris Addison. Thanks to Orange Mark and the British Comedy Guide who put this on the internet. I don't know how they do it. The music you're listening to is by Pest. It's good, isn't it? This show is produced by Ben Walker. It's filmed by Go Faster Strike with Chris Evans. Not that one. Not the one from The Avengers either. The other one. Thanks to all the people who have downloaded the video of this. You're fantastic. Thanks for paying. You cheapskates listening to the audio. I hate you all. I wish you were dead. And one day you will be. This is a Sky Potato, Go Faster Stripe and Fuzz production for the internet. How do you like them, Sky Potatoes? Thank you very much for listening to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. We can only keep this going with your support. If you want to download the videos, that would be fantastic, but I'm very happy for you to listen to the audios. Just if you can't afford to pay for them, why not spread the news to a friend? That would be fantastic. Or if you can come down and watch one of the shows, that also helps fund it at the Leicester Square Theatre. We've got Stephen Fry coming up next week. I'm afraid that has sold out. And Mary Beard, plus another the week after. And some very exciting possibilities that haven't yet been confirmed for the rest of the series. So why not come down and see it? Also, I am going to be at the Edinburgh Fringe doing a show called We're All Gonna Die. Why not come and see that as well? If you can support us in any way, or go to gofasterstripe.com and buy any of the DVDs or CDs or books there, that would also be helpful. But I hope you've enjoyed listening to this. You are very nice. Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.